Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Well, and again, we got a big basketball week to talk about here. But how about J. Cole, speaking of basketball, making his debut?
3 points.
As a professional
rebounds.
Basketball player.
Basketball
Africa League.
That's good.
Right? Made his debut on Sunday.
It's professional basketball.
Give him credit. No, just the little smirk on your face, though. It was a slight smile.
I know. I just like, whatever, man. Because you like 3 points, three rebounds. I'm like.
I'm just giving him love, man.
That's cool. J. Cole, you know.
It's all promotion for the album, but obviously the album's on fire.
Naturally. If you could, yeah, exactly. Off
but
season.
Did he really need to play basketball to promote the album?
But here, he can really hoop.
He loves it. He can really.
I ball with him. I've seen him at Chris Brickley's gym up in New York. He can really hoop, though, Key.
I understand. I get it.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying he couldn't hoop, but I'm saying, did he need to hoop to promote his album? Because he J. Cole, you don't need to hoop to promote it. It's going to promote itself.
It's just in his DNA, though. We've seen a lot of entertainers hoop that shouldn't be hooping. Let's be honest. He can hoop.
That's a
hooper saying he can hoop.
Yeah, wanted to walk on at St. John's. Like, you could tell, like, it's somebody that, look, first of all, loves the game enough to play it. At 36 years old, that's not
like
easy
he can
to do.
Play, though. No, he can actually play basketball, which is a huge difference. He's not one of the dudes that show up in the gym and you think twice. It's like, okay, come on.
Like, I've had Usher on my team playing ball. I'm like, Usher, stop. Give me the ball.
You really going to
like,
put it
I love. No, that's my dude. That's my guy.
Put
like,
it out there like that.
Stop. Like, you're doing all these dance moves with the ball. Stop.
Right.
No, like, give it to me.
Why would you even pick him up?
I did. He picked me up. I was on his team. He's like, I got J-Will. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
But then you can't wave me off. You can't do that.
I'm going to sit this one off.
Right. The minute he steps on, like, got to get some water. I'm good.
I'll
get you guys next.
I'm tired, man. I'm going to let this rest up. I'm going to get the next run, dog.
But, like, J. Cole can ball. You know what? Chris Brown can ball. Chris Brown can really hoop. Like,
a lot of guys, though, just Chris Brown size alone and the way that he walks.
You can tell me. Athlete. Yeah,
I can tell. I'm like, okay, he played in junior high. He played in high school. You know, he
got a foundation. It's the foundation. As long as you watch somebody play, you can tell, all right, there's something there. You definitely were taught
at
some point.
Yeah, I ain't like Jay, though. I'm not going to call out a whole bunch of people. But Jay.
What? I'm just being real. That's my dude.
No, I'm talking about dudes that can't play.
Oh, I'm like,
next time they're in the gym.
It's some, though.
You know, but you know, you can't tell nobody nothing.
I'm just like, go on, man. Do your
thing. Like, I know you made $20 million last year. Just pass that rock over here, though, dog. Let me do this.
I just love the Prince story is always the best story that Charlie Murphy tells about how he can ball. Like, that's one of the funniest things. He's so small, but you figure, all right, if he can ball, then I'd love to have been able to see something like that. But we will get to see the culmination now of an NBA season that ended yesterday. And we went into the day yesterday, guys. 17 of the 20 seeds were not set going into the final day of the season.
Yes,
so before
we
I even
saw your
down,
text at 5:55 in the morning.
I was very
on the
excited
weekend.
Yesterday. It was a very exciting day.
So
for
why
me
is Alan text? It's 6 a.m. on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. We get it.
No,
Sunday,
no,
actually.
Sunday.
No one cares. That's what I told him.
Not no one. I do.
Well, I care.
That's all that matters. I don't care. It's one guy that
2
cares.
2 o'clock
is
in
me.
The afternoon or something, man. Come on, man. Stop.
Well, you're going to care when the Lakers and Warriors meet on Wednesday night. In a 7-8 game that is, you know, again, win and you move on to the 7th seed, lose and you got to win one to get at least the 8th seed. So that's what's exciting about what's coming up. But
they
still
got
just
one MVP.
But we'll get into that too. But let me just ask you guys just in general though. Did this for the NBA, the 7-10, which has been debated whether it's a good idea, not a good idea. LeBron once said that whoever came up with it should be fired. Mark Cuban was against it as well. Seeing what came of yesterday and how everything had to still be decided, and now what we have coming up in these games this week, was this a success for the NBA?
I think it was. I enjoyed watching teams at the very end have an opportunity to get into the playoffs or get a certain seeding. I thought it was great being able to just see guys excited about the opportunities and the possibilities. Plus, you get one game of a great seeding like the Lakers and the Warriors. Like, that's – like, you would take that if one – let's say, for instance, the Lakers were the first seed and what would they be? They would be in the sixth seed would be Golden State. You would be all, like, jacked up to see that. So why not be jacked up to see the play-in?
Absolutely, especially because you know it's single – well, it's not single elimination in that case, in the 7-8. So at least whoever loses – see, that's where the NBA wins. Because if Curry or LeBron lose
still
that
see
game –
them play another game.
You got another game out
well,
of one.
Well, the Lakers ain't going to need to play another game.
We shall see.
I love it. And also, I love it because it also, there are parts of it that infuriate me. It's a love-hate relationship. So which means, as a fan, it's great for the game.
Yeah.
Because then there's strategy involved. And we came off a conversation about load managing, and then you have a team that decides to load manage the last two games to avoid another team, which we'll dive a little bit deeper into throughout the beginning of our show.
We certainly will do that. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Again, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for you to be part of the conversation. But let's give you the schedule for the week. All right, you have – now it's set. So the East, you will have the Hornets and the Pacers, 6:30. And by the way, all games on ESPN Radio this week in the 710 play-in. So that's fantastic as well. So again, Hornets Pacers 6:30. That'll be on Tuesday. Then the second game, how about this? The Wizards. Washington Wizards versus the Boston Celtics. That's your 7-8. The Wizards got all the way into the 7-8. Amazing. That's a 9 o'clock start, by the way. Wednesday on ESPN TV and ESPN Radio, Spurs and the Grizzlies. That's 7:30. And then the Lakers host the Warriors, LeBron, Steph Curry, AD. That's 10 o'clock. Again, ESPN TV, ESPN Radio. Then the winner of the East games, that shouldn't be the right thing at all. Yes, the winner of game one of what I said, the Hornets Pacers play the loser of the Wizards Celtics for the eighth seed. And then the same thing happens on Friday. So a whole week of basically elimination basketball to set us up for the postseason. But as we talk about the seedings, guys, and what Jay, you referenced, so let's get to it. The Bucks decided they wanted to win on Saturday night. They were playing the Heat. They could have laid down and said, we don't want to play the Heat in the first round. We know what the Heat are about. They knocked us out last year, and they've been playing really well. So they could have laid down that game and avoided playing the Heat in the first round. Instead, they won that game and won it going away, and they will now face the Heat in the first round.
See, I love that, especially for a team that beat them 4-1 last year in the playoffs. No, I'm not going to avoid you. I'm going to come right at you, and I'm going to show you that we are better than what we were last year, and we're going to go through you. But that says something about the Bucks.
Meanwhile, the Clippers.
I hear you, but it says something about the Bucks because it could have been easily avoided.
Yeah, but they needed to play against him and play their best ball so that they could send a message to them based on what happened last year.
That's what you would think.
Mm. But the Clippers went the other way. The Clippers decided. The Clippers had two games against the bottom feeders in the West, the Rockets and the Thunder. They lost them both. And by doing that, it ensured them, even though the Lakers didn't get to the sixth seed, we didn't know until Sunday night if they would or would not. So the Clippers decided this weekend, we're going to make sure we don't deal with the Lakers at all in case it was, you know, we would have to face
it them. It was abysmal. It was horrible. I was here Friday night, late night, doing NBA countdown, and we're all sitting there, me, Jalen, Woj. I'm not speaking for them. They can say their own. And they have a microphone to them as well. And we're all just like, to the Rockets, man. Like, that's what we're doing right now. We're doing this to the Rockets. And then to follow that up, we're doing it to OKC. Has anybody watched OKC this year?
Not good.
I mean, they already have 30,000 first-round picks from now until the year 2038. And they're still tanking. They're still doing that. But that's what we're doing, Clippers. We're losing to the Rockets and to OKC to solidify a spot that we don't have to play the Lakers at the sixth seed. If we get the three seed, that's what we're – wow. Like, what is that – I get the strategy behind it.
The Clippers fell to the fourth seed. They will play the Mavericks instead.
I get the strategy behind it. I understand that. From a basketball, you know, purist, I see that. That's a better matchup for you. Understand that. But, wow, that if I'm the Lakers or if I'm – that's y'all running away from us like that, huh? You guys are really running away from us like that. What does that say about your team? Like, I don't want to hear any of this talk like, whoa, it wasn't planned. Dude. Stop it.
Right.
Like – don't hit me with
all
that political
jargon. They were playing so well down the stretch, and then all of a sudden it's like, all right, pull the plug.
There we go. All right, guys, sit on
that. And that's the reason why I always tell y'all the Clippers are the Clippers. It's just that they are who they are. It's not going to be Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. They getting ready to take them to the championship. The Clippers are the Clippers, man.
You're just not buying it.
That's just who they are.
Is that an example, though?
They're running from the Lakers, and there's you would think that they would step up and be like, I don't care who we play.
Yeah.
Like LeBron has said, we're in it. But I don't really care.
Wouldn't you argue this?
How
if,
we get
if I
there,
want the Lakers, I want them now, not later when they get into a rhythm and get all right.
If they like, get going, I want them now. They would meet them in the Western Conference Finals. Oh, that's when they would
matter,
meet them.
Though. Doesn't matter when we play them. Just get it on. It could be now. It could be tomorrow. It could be the next
You're
day.
Gonna have
just,
to beat them eventually, right?
Let's get it on.
The strategy could work. I mean, the strategy could work if they're obviously going against Dallas and then they face probably Utah, right, to get there. It can work. I'm not saying it can't work. I'm not saying the Clippers can't come out of the West.
Yeah.
So funny,
I'm just saying how you go about it matters to me. And if you're watching it, you're like, damn.
I think the Clippers are trying to get out of the second round, man. That's all.
Damn.
Wow.
But they never got out the second round.
You're right.
So 888 say ESPN. 888-729-3776.
In a Western Conference final.
Is the 7-10 and what you saw going into the final day of the regular season, do you think it worked for the NBA? That's part of the conversation. We obviously have a lot more to get to on the NBA. Steph Curry, by the way, 46 points against the Grizzlies to clinch his second scoring title and got the Wizards to the eighth seed in the West. Curry's overnight delivery brought to you by USPS. Business is changing, and USPS is changing with it. Find out how at USPS.com/newroots. The United States Postal Service, priority you. So Matt Nagy is going to do what's best for the Bears, for the organization, really. But what's best for the Bears might not be what's best for Matt Nagy. That we will discuss next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
I would put Fields in there as soon as he's ready to go.
This isn't Jacksonville. This is a playoff team. So to take a young quarterback that has the ability to do some things, and I wouldn't mind starting him immediately.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Are the story in the NFL, as they normally are, but especially in Chicago, this is the story. And after Justin Fields, who the Bears moved up in the draft to select, had himself a nice little rookie camp, impressed some people. And now it becomes the question that will be asked over and over and over again, that maybe the Bears are just trying to squelch. You guys tell me. Here's Matt Nagy. This will be Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, basically trying to put a stop to what you know will be a perpetual question about the quarterback situation.
Andy is the starter. Andy's going to get the one reps. When you go up to draft a quarterback like Justin, everyone's very excited, and they want to know when. And trust me, we all understand that. But we need to make sure that whatever that plan is that we put together, that it's the best thing for the Chicago Bears.
So that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So the decision will be based on what's best for the Bears. Is that to me? I'll say this, Key. He has to say this. He's probably trying to take the pressure off Fields, probably also trying to not let this become every time you talk to the media, it's the question over and over again. He's trying to just say, no, this is my guy. You go with the vet for now, and you let the young player earn his way up. But are we buying this, or do you still think that that change could come pretty quickly?
Well, first of all, it's rookie mini camp. So it's like, it's not It's May. Come August, the conversation will be different.
How different?
Andy Dalton should be the starter today. And he should be the starter tomorrow at the beginning of training camp. First couple of days, Andy Dalton will take some reps with the first unit. And then all of a sudden, they'll start to share reps. And the closer they get to regular season, he'll slightly start to take less reps. And Fields will take more reps. That's what it is. So I wouldn't buy into.
So you're describing.
Or I wouldn't freak out because he's saying the things that he's saying in his press conference about the quarterback position. I wouldn't freak out if I was Chicago Bear fan.
I think that's the point, right? It's that it's May, like you said, and this is if he said now, it's a competition. Well, now that
now it's a competition.
That turns up the heat.
It's a whole thing. Now Andy Dalton's crew gets all mad and his agents talking anonymously and all of those. But I can tell you one thing: that Justin Fields in that uniform walking around, ooh, he looked good. I just like the way he look. He looked
feels
like,
right.
He looks right. Mm. He looks like a quarterback. His body, just his whole physique, he just looked like he ready to go. I mean, I'm checking him out, though. I'm really looking at him and labbing him. I'm taking him to the lab. And look at that. He carries out the ball fake, puts the ball in the belly of the running back, carries out the ball fake. I'm like, okay. That means that they're going to take some principles from Ohio State and insert them into his offense. Just that little bit told me that little bit of nugget that I just saw. You're going to see some principles
off that?
Just off of that. Just that little bit.
Key observations. That's what he calls it, by the way.
Jay, you know Chicago well, and you know how desperate they've been for a quarterback. He has to say this now, because if he doesn't, the Chicago media, fan base, the desperation for Fields to be the one that they've been waiting for a long time, it's going to be at an all-time high. Yep. So even from rookie camp to OTAs to when they open up training camp in the summer, all the intensity is going to be on this kid. Are they trying to protect him, or is Nagy trying to protect himself?
You see, I'm in Rocky Balboa training mode, training montage against Ivan Drago right now. I'm trying to stay disciplined, because what happened to me yesterday is when Evan told me to sound, because obviously I've been locked into what's happening with NBA, I started to get frustrated. Why do you even say anything? And then I said, you know what? Calm down. Think this through. I don't care what Matt Nagy says anymore. I want to see, the proof is in the pudding, Key. Who's the starter going to be when we get to the time that the season starts? And then I just don't want to see another situation that was last year. I don't want to see another Trubisky, Nick Foles situation where a quarterback comes out, he does decently well, the team is doing well. It's like, you know what? I want to make a change. Like, I just want to see there be – I think Justin Fields is going to get the spot to start off with, and I want to see consistency with the way – give him the keys to the car. I think he's going to perform. I mean, obviously, we will tell. But if he performs this offseason, give him the keys to the car, Key. Let him drive the car. Say the car is yours moving forward. If he wants ownership of it, let him have it. That's why you moved up in the draft to do so.
Well, as long as he does
– he's performing.
What he's supposed to do. He had a decent rookie minicamp, which doesn't mean anything. But if he can make the throws that he made in rookie camp doing the OTAs and take care of business in the classroom and then get to training camp and make those splash plays that make the people that are watching go, Because when you talk about the defensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball has a heavy influence on who they play at quarterback. Guys like Khalil Mack and Danny Trevathan and Robert Quinn and some of the frontline guys, Trufant and those guys, as they're watching Fields with the second unit and he's making splash plays, I can promise you the defensive coordinator is looking at their response as well as the offensive coordinator and how they're looking at the situation. And it sounds weird, because you would say, well, why does that have anything to do? Because they know that the offense aside the ball is there to help the defense, and the defense doesn't have to feel all that pressure anymore when you got a guy who can make splash plays on the other side. Those dudes are sitting there kneeling down, watching practice, and sitting there shaking their head and going, coach, that dude can play. And that kind of ensures the coaches that they're going to make the right decision.
Making the sounds that you make when you watch highlights, that kind of a thing. Yeah. That if you're inspiring your teammates, that's a big deal.
Well, the players know what they see.
Yes. especially you know good defensive players.
Oh, they know what they see.
Now Justin Fields saying all the right things, as he has been throughout this whole process. Of course he wants to be a starter. He's not a guy that's saying, well, I got to earn it. I know Zach Wilson said that, and there's no other quarterback on the roster. Justin Fields said this, though. I think everybody on our team should be striving for a starting job, and if you're not, there's no reason for you to be here. He said, of course, I'm going to do everything that I can to get that starting job.
Yeah.
So he's ready for the competition.
Yeah.
Right? And that's really what matters. He's ready for it. He wants it. And now we'll see if he wins it.
Yeah, it's up to him, though.
And it's final key. I'm just going to work hard, keep my head down, and push through. Like, okay, that's why you came here.
Yes.
Work hard.
That's why they
traded up. Keep my head down, push through.
That's why they traded up for you. Kobe Bryant went into the Hall of Fame this weekend, and something Vanessa Bryant said made us think. Does the Mamba mentality still exist in the NBA today? We'll discuss that after Key has this from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
Kobe wanted to be the number one basketball player ever.
The most important thing is how your career moves and touches those around you and how it carries forward to the next generation.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Dotson loses it. Walking the tightrope. Oh, Blake Griffin! Razzle dazzle!
Don't do it! Oh my God!
Next level! Kevin Durant! All right, the rack attack! And one of the highlights of the year!
Man, was it ever, as you heard it on the YES Network.
Poor Cavs.
Jay, what did you call the Nets?
They are a polished Rucker Park.
And they are also the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference after a 123-109 win over the Cavaliers. They lock up the 2 seed in the East. The Bucks now are the 3 seed. Brooklyn faces the winner of Tuesday's Celtics-Wizards play-in game. And, of course, you can hear that on ESPN Radio.
And for the people who don't know what Rucker Park is, it's one of the best probably across basketball, gaming outside.
It's the center of basketball.
Yeah, center of basketball in New York.
It's the centerpiece of basketball. The Lakers, by the way, locked into the 7th seed in the West. They'll play the Warriors in the play-in tournament, which you can also hear on ESPN Radio. In the West now, despite a 110-98 win over the Pelicans, the Lakers will finish 7th behind Dallas and Portland on a tiebreaker. So the Lakers head into the play-in tournament, and they'll have the Warriors, as we mentioned, Wednesday night, ESPN TV and ESPN Radio. Little FCS football action for you guys. Sam Houston State with the win. They defeated South Dakota State 23-21 to win their first FCS championship in school history. The Bearcats' third appearance in the title game. Yes, football in the spring.
These Dakota States really be good.
Yeah, so all the Dakotas. Yes, yeah. They know what they're doing. Sports Center brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven.
He was just different from everybody else.
Kobe wanted to be the number one basketball player ever, and he knew he was going to be great.
The most important thing is how your career moves and touches those around you and how it carries forward to the next generation.
Now Hall of Famer Kobe Bryant, after this weekend's ceremonies in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, guys, as I was watching the ceremonies this weekend, really happy for our guy, Mike Wilbon, Mike Breen as well on the media side of things, but Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Kobe Bryant. And his wife, his widow, Vanessa Bryant, gave the speech for him, and it was, as you would expect, it was pitch perfect. It was emotional, and it was wonderful to go down that memory lane one more time regarding Kobe. And it's a shame, obviously, that he couldn't be here to see it, but you know, in a way, he was. And his presence, as we talk about on the game today, it's still, he has an impact on today's game. Many of the young players still reference him, reference Mamba mentality, which became, you know, a big part of what he was about.
Mamacita now, with the way Vanessa has done that. Look what his bring influence that into on the WNBA
women's game
and the attention he's brought to that
as
well.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. It's something I teach my daughter, my six-year-old, who's becoming an athlete already at six, plays anything. And I try to put that, instill that in her as well. And it all comes from this. But I want you guys, based off a conversation that we had on Friday about load management and discussing where the NBA is with that today, I want you to listen to a part of Vanessa Bryant's speech where she talks about Kobe and the drive he had to play for the fans.
People don't know this, but one of the reasons my husband played through injuries and pain was because he said he remembered being a little kid sitting in the nosebleeds with his dad to watch his favorite player play. Kobe didn't want to disappoint his fans, especially the ones in the 300 sections that saved up to watch him play, the kids with the same excitement he once had. I remember asking him why he couldn't just sit a game out because he was hurting. He said, "What about the fans that saved up to watch me play just once?" He never forgot about his fans. If he could help it, he would play every minute of every game. He loved you all so much.
If he could help it, he could play every minute of every game. That's because, obviously, he had a maniacal approach to the game, a passion. He loved the game. Mm-hmm. Can I point out something? Nikola Jokic, by the way, who's an MVP candidate this season.
71 games.
If he wins it, if he wins it, he'd be the only All-Star this year that played the full schedule. He'd be the first MVP to not miss a single game since Kobe Bryant in 07-08. So that's a rarity in today's game now, as we've talked about, right? When you listen to that, I ask the question. We talk about Mamba mentality. A lot of players use it as a hashtag. But how many players left in the league have that? Is he a throwback? Is he an old school player? Will we see players like him with that kind of approach, maniacal approach, ever again?
Are we just talking about the load management side of it, or the total mentality?
I think all of it. Oh. Yeah, I think it embodies all of it.
So Dame.
Well, if we're talking
Dame,
about
right?
the total mentality, I would say there's a number of guys with the total mentality. Where Jay went and mentioned Dame. Kevin Durant's a killer.
Dame's a great
Obviously, LeBron James, Steph Curry. I mean,
they're older
James
players,
Harden.
Though. You're talking about guys over 30.
Well,
that's why I'm asking. They're from his era. Those guys played with Kobe, right? So
Devin Booker
what's coming
played 67
next.
Games.
I'm not looking at the amount of games, because everybody's games, depending on when they play, injuries, some things won't allow them to play, but the mentality. The fiery mentality, the take control mentality, the you do it this way or else get the hell out of here mentality.
Yeah.
You probably got 7-8 guys in the NBA that's that way. I would think Jay may say more.
I got Dame, Westbrook, Steph, Giannis, CP3 is one of those, Jokic, Bron, I mean, KD. You got a lot of guys that still have that same mentality. I'm sure I'm missing some names too.
Is this
so you got to have the mentality, the Mamba mentality? Yes, playing every night. Yes, that is correct. But having my foot on your throat that's it. You got to have that mentality, and Kobe had that mentality. He wouldn't, no matter what. You know, some guys, you go back to Kobe's early years, the shots against Utah, some people's careers would be over. They would fold under that. They wouldn't know how to go back and rejuvenate and figure out, okay, I'm going to shake that off now. I'm just going to go on a run that they've never seen before. Some guys break and fold under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Jay knows this. They just crumble under that type of pressure. So you are a young kid who is given a big responsibility in the NBA or professional sports in general and you don't deliver, your career is pretty much over because you don't have the mentality to just say, you know what? Bump and, that. I'm getting ready to come
and
back.
The doubters
and
naysayers
in.
Are quick to jump on you no matter
Absolutely.
How old you are.
Absolutely.
I mean, but the thing that makes Kobe, I mean, Kobe has five chips, man. Like, it's even listening to Vanessa Bryant do her best to describe Kobe, he's indescribable. He really is. If anybody's got a chance to spend time with him, and MJ is the same kind of way, where it's maniacal. It's 24/7. Like, I know a lot of guys who are hoopers. There's a difference between a hooper and somebody that plays basketball. There's a lot of guys in the NBA that play basketball that make great runners. There's not a lot of guys in the NBA who are hoopers. And hoopers know what I'm talking about. Kobe is a hooper.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the time. Nothing else matters. Didn't care.
I smiled. I started laughing when Jay was talking. I used to be that way early on. I couldn't do it no more. I just couldn't.
I'm glad you said that.
I couldn't do it no more.
I'm glad you said that.
I was like.
Because you can have it, but to have it for just
that long. No, I couldn't do it no more, man. I did it for probably about 7 of my 11 years early on. Nonstop, no matter what. Didn't isolate myself from the world. Wouldn't deal with people. Just constantly. Took 2 weeks off. Season's over. Right back at the grind. And I couldn't do it no more, man. Mm-hmm. It broke me. Mm-hmm. It did. It broke me.
It can wear you out.
Oh, yeah, man.
But that's what makes it so rare. And again.
Well, it also wears out the people around you, too, now, because it takes a lot of patience, right? It's just not you. I mean, it's about you, right? I mean, it's about you all the time. Like, it's a give and take part of the relationship.
Yeah, it was football, weightlifting, running, jumping, jogging. Mm-hmm. Football, weightlifting, running, jumping, jogging, film study. You know, all day long.
It's an obsession.
All I did.
It's an obsession. It's something that you have to have an obsessive kind of personality probably be able to do it.
And it's not
easy to do. You can't teach it.
It's one of those deals, Alan, even in college, the reason I became the number one overall pick is because of that type of mentality.
Right.
And when I was in school, I took care of the schoolwork, whatever it was. But the moment that was over, I was in the coach's office, in the film room. Everybody else was out eating lunch or doing whatever. I'd take my lunch. I'd be right there. Then afterwards, go downstairs, lift weights, do whatever. Go to practice. After practice, come back in, lift weights, watch film. Yeah, like I felt like I didn't have a life. And then
but you did, though.
But I did, right? But it just was.
You didn't have a life like a normal, like I would say normally in air quotes, but like regular people. Because you weren't regular. You weren't a
but
typical
you gotta,
person. You were different. You were wired differently.
It wore me out to the point of no return. But see, like for Kobe, it didn't wear him out.
Never.
That's why he's different.
Right.
That's why everybody always says him and Michael are different.
See, I would change that conversation. I don't think it wore Kobe out. I think he just translated that energy to his family. Like, and I'm not saying that Kobe didn't have that energy towards his family before. But I feel like when basketball was gone, he took all that obsession, all that energy, all that focus that he had for basketball and put that into all of his kids. I mean, people talked about it. We used to talk about it. When I saw about the Players Tribune thing, it was like the whole conversation was about, I was like, yo, that's incredible. Because what people don't talk about is as you're doing all that, I'm not saying you can't prioritize your family because you can. But what happens is your family is a little bit below your work and what you have to do, right? In the gym all the time, training.
So
it's like,
and that's hard for them to understand.
I can't be at my kid's game because I got to go put in this work.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to be here, right? So, like, I think that's why a lot of athletes looked at Kobe and was like, damn, like, that's incredible. He went from like that to whoop. Now, Gigi, my wife, Vanessa, my family, like, that's incredible, man. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can't just turn that switch. Like, a lot of people become lost.
Yeah. Yeah. When the career's over, it's like, I don't know what to do next. He was able to find that. And again, I don't want you to get me wrong. What I'm saying is that could that impact the future of the game because people see him as that example of how, like, what he was able to do with the work ethic? Because, you know, Julius Randle tells a great story about how when he was a rookie with the Lakers, he would go with Kobe to a gym. The minute they land somewhere, you find a high school gym, you get your shots up in the new city. Where most guys, you get your new city, what are you doing? Where are we going?
Where
right?
We going?
Like,
relax,
it's always about
where
are we going,
yeah.
Right? But for Kobe, it was, no, you come to the gym. He said, come with me. You go to the gym. You get your shots up so you get your work in, and then whatever you're going to do. And Julius said that recently he called, I think it was in Chicago, wherever it was, a high school gym that he went to with Kobe once, and I want to get some shots up. And the coach said, you know, we haven't seen anybody around here since Kobe. Mm. Like, nobody does it anymore. And for Julius, he felt like, okay, now I got to keep doing this now. It's the example. And will that now impact the future of the NBA? Certainly is the question. And the guys that have it, along with that generation, you named a lot of them, and you're absolutely right. So we asked it on Twitter, what current NBA players have the Mamba mentality? Curtis said Jimmy Butler, Russell Westbrook.
Jimmy Butler, yeah.
There's two guys that never turned it off, right? And how about what Russ has done in the second half of the season, turning his whole season around, the outlook on him, everything like that, and the Wizards. Phil said also Jimmy Butler. It seems like a common theme. Ryan, Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell is a young player.
Mitchell's another one, yeah. I mean, we all remember what happened this year with Shaq when Shaq was like, I don't know if you can get there. And Donovan's like, okay.
Oh, I can't.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, it was a great response. Brian said LeBron.
LeBron for sure.
LeBron has LeBron that approach sure. too.
Yeah, 100 right? miles an hour.
LeBron, come on. I said it the other day.
Obsessed
with the game. Let's not forget that LeBron James sat up there on national TV when Kobe passed away and was like, I got it. Like, that takes a lot of moxie to say. A lot of confidence in the way you go about the process of what you do.
Think about the production of Space Jams 2 when he was, you know, filming that. They had to create a basketball situation for him to still be able to work and make sure that he was still getting his work in and not just concentrating on doing a movie. I mean, all of that sort of stuff is that mentality. That's the work ethic that you put in. Again, some people can't do it. It wears you out.
It's a great story about Jordan, right, doing Space Jam.
Exactly.
It wears you down.
Exactly.
He had to have run on, mm-hmm. on the set. Like, what a great story that is. But that it just shows you, again, when people wonder how, and I don't think it's just in sports. I don't think it's just in basketball. I think it's in any walk of life. Those who are obsessed with what they're doing, it's like it doesn't feel like work, right? And so that's what you become great that way, but you're also viewed a little different because you put so much into it. You don't know how to turn it off, right? But I think it's an example. That's why I brought up.
Well, also, it's kind of like if you guys ever seen Queen's Gambit. If you're saying it's a great movie about chess, right? And it's about strategy and planning. Like, there's also that. Like, all the stuff with Jordan and LeBron did too. Like, hey guys, come work out with me while we film Space Jams because I want to see where all you guys are.
Yep.
Where your games are. Who's been working on what? So I can process down the line how I can attack you. Like, it never stops. It's relentless.
Yeah. It's like LeBron saying that Curry should be an MVP
right before he plays him.
Here y'all go.
What do you mean? It's the mastermind.
That's a
mastermind move.
You think it's hate towards LeBron. It's You're not. Wrong. I am fascinated by the way he does things. I think it's great. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Spoke to a team source who said the Packers have engaged with Aaron Rodgers and his representatives, and they will continue to try to do so.
We want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that. We'll continue to work at it each and every day.
Oh, yes. On to the drama of the NFL and Aaron Rodgers and the quarterback conversation.
Renegades.
And to join us doing that, Diana Russini joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Diana, good morning.
Hi, guys. I love this conversation you're having just about what it takes to be great and just the behavior that separates those that go on to be legends and those that are just average. And, you know, I think, Jay, you can speak to it, Key, you as well. You know, if when you play at a high level, I only went to Division I level. I never played professionally, but I can even recall teammates of mine who were substantially better in every way because of those habits. And those same women that I played with, their professional lives now, they don't play soccer anymore, they apply that same technique, that same drive to what they do every day. And it's in your blood, it's in your genes, and they're almost a little mad, to be honest, a little crazy, a little weird, a little strange. And I think they'd say that about me too, but for different reasons. So enjoying this conversation, and obviously in the NFL, our version of that is Tom Brady. We know how nuts he is, you know, and now we sit here and wait to see if Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, is trying the TB12 method. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but Peter King reported that he started to try it out a little bit. So maybe everyone's seeing that Brady's got the answers to having a pretty long, successful career here.
So that's interesting. So I guess the suggestion is then that Aaron Rodgers plans on playing a lot longer than maybe the Packers expected when they drafted Jordan Love. But is there a latest on this situation other than, of course, Matt LaFleur saying that no, we want him on this team, but it might not be up to them at this point.
Yeah, it was quite the desperate sound in his voice, right? It was just like, man, we want him back. It's almost like he's speaking through the media, too. We know that they've had meetings in person. And the Packers organization is really trying to continue to repair the relationship. And we can get into all the money that perhaps could be thrown at him. Because, guys, the reality of this is if this was about money, Green Bay would have redid his deal, restructured it, gave him tons of money for this upcoming season, and kumbaya, everybody's happy, he's back playing. But we know that this is layered. There's so much more here. And I just don't know if Aaron Rodgers has the type of personality to forgive, to really listen here and go, this is worth it for me. I think this is repairable. So the state of the Green Bay Packers right now here in mid-May is that they are going to continue to try to get him to return, continue to try to build and make it work. Until then, though, we see them signing other quarterbacks, which, you know, the headline is way sexier than the reality. You see it, you're like, oh, my gosh, they're moving on. You know, obviously they're not. They need arms in camp. And look, you got to figure really good organizations always have plans. And I don't know what their big game plan is going to be here, if they're going to ride it all on Jordan Love here. But it seems right now with Blake Bortles joining the team, they've got a little bit of – I can't believe I just said that. But Blake Bortles, the veteran – I just heard myself. You know, the veteran quarterback there who's going to be able to, you know, maybe get them through camp.
Yeah, you said that, and I felt like I chewed on a lemonade or
we
something.
We all made a face.
A lemon head or something really, very sour. But, Diana, the two young quarterbacks had minicamp this week, and Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. What are you hearing about how they performed at those minicamps?
All right, so here's the story on the rookies this weekend. And this applies to the superstars, too. We're talking about our top draft picks. Key, I had so many conversations with coaches and even some of the younger players about what camp was like. What did it look like? What did it feel like? And I was almost surprised how unimpressed coaches were in these rookies in terms of their technique. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that some of these guys opted out, right? We know that because of COVID. Some of them didn't have spring football. Some of them had a shortened season. There's a million reasons why we know they've played less football. And look, it's mid-May. Every coach panics. They're not good enough yet, you know. But at the same time, I do think it's really interesting knowing today a lot of vets are showing up for skills and drills. The difference between them and the rookies may be quite substantial right now as they continue to acclimate. But I do think it's one of these kind of inside football stories that we got to keep an eye on in terms of the transition for a lot of these players that miss time. They're still great football players. But when you're talking to some of these defensive coordinators, these offensive coordinators like I was talking to this weekend, who seemed almost irritated that they got to go back to a lot of basics with some of these guys, and they're not even really able to show them the things that they need to get to because it's like, man, we're like reteaching this stuff because some of it's reflective of some of these programs, some of the college coaches, but also some of it is just missed time.
Diana, every time I hear Urban Meyer, I'm like, what's going on now? If it's Tim Tebow, and now over the weekend, Travis Etienne has been spending a lot of time at the wide receiver position, a lot of snaps in the first couple of days of rookie camp. Well, what do we make of that? What can we think about that?
Yeah, so, right, you have this running back that we've been talking about on TV for the last few weeks. He could have the most rushing yards as a rookie, and then Urban Meyer rolls him out as a receiver. And, you know, just talking to some people around the league about that, too, because I initially thought it was a bigger deal than it may actually be. You know, Urban is known for using that H receiver. He's known for using the guys in that role. He likes that. And the idea of having a dual threat player works in an Urban Meyer offense. And the players into it, coaches into it. I think this is just giving Trevor Lawrence more options and more weapons. We'll see if this pans out to actually turn into a thing. Obviously the Tim Tebow story is really the one that's been shadowing this Jags practice. practice, but obviously seeing them change their running back to perhaps play some receiver, and maybe we'll see some Tim Tebow at that quarterback position in that Taysom Hill role, which would make a lot of sense.
Diane, it's amazing. See, you made a face twice now when you mentioned Tim Tebow. It's the second time you made that face. It's that kind of offseason, isn't it? Thanks so much for your time, as always. We'll talk to you.
Tim Tebow.
I gotta do a favor for your listeners. I'm just gonna tweet a picture of me looking like I ate a lemon, so they know what you guys are talking about. That's when they're driving into work. You guys have a great Monday.
All right, Diana Rossini on the Goodyear Hotline. So coming up, we get into how unhappy the MVP is. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.